Ben, I don't want to put you on the spot.
No, let's do the bird feed.
I'm going to skip the bird feed.
What? Okay.
This is back to the free feed. If at any point during this conversation, because it could be potentially a little bit touchy, you just want to call it where obviously it's not live. I can edit out whatever you don't want. But here we go. This is back to the free feed, okay? We're on the free feed. Here we go. Episode 1233, Ask Ben Anything, Parenting and Ducks. Welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian, bringing you theology at warp speed. I'm Matt Adelson.
I'm Ben DiBono.
Ben, you don't know these questions. These are questions I've brought to you. It's not from the audience.
Right, right.
The ducks part was going to be part of the bird feed, which is, listeners, if you are not familiar, over on the Patreon feed we have, which is patreon.com/thescifichristian.
We have a bird podcast.
We have a whole bird, a podcast devoted to bird talk.
Yeah.
And so I was going to save that part, but I think I need... So the question I want to ask you is a little heavy. Now, I need something light for the end.
Yeah, yeah. And people... And we also have a fish podcast called The Fish Cast.
That's right.
And you might think, well, that's just silly. You guys are just being silly. No, I'm not making this up. I'm not going to get into any details. We have lost listeners over content on The Fish Cast. This is a true statement. So I'm not going to tell you anything about the brewing controversy on the Fish Cast, but our fish podcast has proved maybe the most controversial thing we've ever done.
So check us out, patreon.com/thescifichristian. If you want to just support the podcast, in the old days, people would have had donate buttons. Well, guess what? We're going to give you something.
Yeah, exactly. So, a lot of something.
So you can pay, and then you get a lot over there.
Yeah.
That is how you can help this podcast.
And hopefully you keep paying.
But Ben.
Yeah.
There have been a couple comments recently. Nothing serious. I'm not trying to put you on the spot here, but I just want more clarification about what you're getting at. And even just, I mean, some of it is, I'm not saying that anything you'll want to take back. It's just maybe I want more information.
Well, we'll see. I'm not above taking something back. We talk a lot here.
So in the very last episode we just did in the free feed, it was about being formed and forming.
Yeah.
And you just had one little line. It wasn't a main point or anything, but you talked about how parenting is something that is formative for people.
Yes.
And you, I can't remember the exact context, but you were talking about people who choose to not have children.
Correct.
But then I just got me thinking about people who want to have kids, but haven't been able to.
Okay. Totally different.
So you're right. So yeah. I want to kind of talk about that. But then when I was thinking about that, it sparked a memory that weeks ago at this point, maybe a couple months ago or in the last month, I can't exactly remember. You mentioned at some point, I think it was IVF.
Oh yeah,
and you made a very strong statement that you think. I don't want to misquote you, so tell me if you think this is true. I think you said that you think IVF is evil.
It is.
Okay, so I think I might.
Yeah, no, I won't take that back at all.
Because I'm sure we have listeners that have explored that option if they weren't able to get pregnant in the more traditional way. So. These are just two different thoughts, but they are kind of connected.
Let's do it.
So if you want to talk about IVF, but also I don't want to, I guess when I heard that last episode, I didn't want somebody, because you made it seem like being a parent is formative to you as a human, almost, and I know you didn't mean it this way, but almost like this is like a required part of growing as a human.
Well, let's just start there. That's the easy one.
Yeah.
I mean, first of all, how could I take that stance as a Catholic when our entire clergy class takes a vow of celibacy?
Okay.
So that's.
I'm not trying to put you in this.
That's fine.
I just want, if there's somebody that heard it and felt something, I wanted to give you a chance.
So first of all, there's multiple vocations. I do think that if you are in the vocation of marriage is for the purpose of establishing a family. Now, talk about people who are childless in a second. That's obviously a remarkably different thing. People who are childless as a result of infertility. So there's multiple vocations in life. So one of them would be, of course, the clergy. You take a vow of celibacy, at least in the Western church. So clearly there's no universe where I believe that it is a requirement in life to have children. That's just not the case. That said, I think that what I'm trying to argue against is the child-free lifestyle, which what do I mean by child-free? Well, I mean the people who are very explicitly, they get married and are deliberately choosing not to have children. I think that that's not only tragic, I think it's morally wrong. I think it is morally wrong. And indeed, it's one of the conditions that can render a marriage invalid in the eyes of the church. If one couple, one member, one or both members of a marriage enter into that union intending to not deliberately not have children. That is a condition for
a Catholic point of view.
That is a condition for an invalid marriage. So, of course, in Catholicism, divorce doesn't exist. A marriage can be annulled. In other words, the marriage is declared to have never existed. If you enter into a marriage with the intention, the deliberate intention to never have children, which, again, is entirely different than infertility.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we can't make that point strongly enough. That is enough to render that marriage invalid, because that is the purpose of marriage, or a purpose of marriage, is the raising of children and the formation of family. Okay, so then, yeah, of course, childlessness and infertility are remarkably difficult. And I think there are ways that – and I'm no expert on fertility, so I'm going to be just careful with my words here. But there are ways that are – absolutely legitimate to heighten fertility, to encourage it, to encourage the conception of children, whatever that might look like. And I would say that I would encourage people not only to talk to their doctors, but talk to their priests about that, because morality doesn't go out the window in this case. So what's the problem with IVF, in vitro fertilization?
Wait, before you go on to that, let's say somebody's trying it. I'm guessing you'd think adoption is...
Oh, yeah, adoption's wonderful. Yeah, the adoption's wonderful. All that's great. But specifically, I have a problem with IVF. And let me just say, before I talk about my problem with IVF, if you have had children from IVF, or you are a child who was conceived through IVF, in no way is the issue of that choice in any way morally culpable for that. In other words, if you're conceived through IVF, just like if you were conceived through rape or something else that is non-traditional, if you're cloned, I know you're a fan of clones.
Yeah.
All of those, to different degrees, to be clear, I'm not equating those three scenarios, are morally wrong. But that does not change the fact that if you are a human from those, you are made in God's image, and all of that applies. And I think that's an important thing to say from the get-go. It's also, I've also am very understanding of those who would, for the reasons why somebody would turn to something like IVF. I am sympathetic to that. Nevertheless, it is wrong. Why? A couple of reasons. Number one, IVF is, in the way that it is typically practiced, and there's an answer to this objection, but typically what happens with IVF is that multiple embryos are created and discarded. In other words, when the child is born from IVF, usually there are many, many, many more embryos who were conceived and are now, not to put too fine a point on it, murdered or frozen or otherwise treated as disposable. That is morally abhorrent. In other words, IVF almost always, we'll talk about the other cases in a second, almost always comes packaged with the sin of abortion, which, if you believe what the church or Christianity in general teaches about life, which is that life begins at conception and ought to be protected until natural death, that is the church's teaching, then the way IVF is practiced is not morally permissible, full stop.
What if the couple is committed that, like, they will not leave an embryo behind?
Yeah, so let's talk about that. So in that case, obviously you have avoided the greater sin. And I salute couples that do that. However, what's the problem? It's the same problem that exists in birth control, which is that it separates conception from marital love. It takes the act of conception and the creation of the person and separates them. In other words, the sex act and reproduction are not meant to be separated. So I would say that the sin of birth control that is present in birth control, and I know I'm wading into heavy issues here, but let me just finish. The sin that is present in birth control is always present in IVF, even if the sin of abortion is avoided in IVF.
Yeah, I think it might be interesting, not interesting, that's not the right word, but our audience could be Protestant or Catholic. I'm Protestant, you're Catholic. So is some of what you're describing and your feelings behind it specifically because of Catholic teaching, or do you feel like, biblically speaking, and across the board, this...
Well,
I guess you can't really separate those.
Well, yeah. Like, I mean, that's a false equivalence. That's I know you don't mean it this way, but it's a little bit like the moral relative. Well, are you just saying that because it's true for you? Because it's what you're... No,
yeah, I mean,
it's
I guess
not like...
That's,
Catholic teaching is don't eat fish on Fridays. Catholic teaching saying birth... No, but just, what I'm saying is that's a specific Catholic teaching. Yeah. Like, that's a Catholic practice. I don't think that's binding.
Like
moral, the Catholic teaching on birth control is not a statement for Catholics. It is a statement about the morality of the world.
So let me ask you this: if there's a Protestant who's okay with using birth control, and they're committed to you, like I don't know exactly what the wording would be, but making sure that no embryo is killed.
Let's just call it non-abortive IVF.
Yeah, I mean, in that sense, then I don't necessarily see from a Protestant perspective the problem.
Well, I agree from a Protestant, but I disagree with the Protestant perspective.
Okay, so
I think I think birth control is evil. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know that's a strong statement, I'm not trying to like make anybody feel bad, but I'm also like nobody wants to listen to the Sci-Fi Christian where Ben comes on and pulls his punches.
Just tells everybody
exactly.
Evil is. I mean, that's the.
Isn't sin evil? Like, I think it's a sin.
Okay, you think it's a sin because it takes God out of the process.
It's not God out of the... Like, to separate the reproductive act from conception.
From what I understand, the Catholic stance is the reason it's a sin to use birth control is because you're taking that out of God's hands. Like, that whole process.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd phrase it exactly like that, but essentially, yes. Yeah,
I'm going to decide if we're going to have a kid instead of letting God decide.
Yes, I am going to divorce my sexuality from... reproduction. Mm-hmm. That's what you're doing. You are deliberately severing the two.
Okay, that's interesting. I'm just thinking out loud here. I don't know if I necessarily think it's a sin from a Protestant perspective to...
Yeah, but again, like saying from a Protestant perspective doesn't mean anything. Like there's nothing specifically Catholic about the statement on birth control.
Yeah,
like
it's Catholic.
Believe
that because the Pope's mandate back during the 60s or 70s.
So first of all, every Protestant denomination up until the 20th century also disagreed with birth control.
Okay.
Orthodox largely disagree with birth control. You go back to the Didache, one of the earliest Christian non-New Testament writings, they condemn birth control. So, like, and that doesn't mean that, like, as a Protestant, you have to agree with that position, but I don't agree with the framing that it's a specifically Catholic position. It's not. The fact that we're the last ones in the pool doesn't mean we're the only swimmers.
Yeah.
Like, the entire church for 2,000 years held this position, and then when it became morally convenient to jump ship... Not all Protestants. I want to say that too. There are Protestants who would agree with the Catholic take on birth control, and I salute their bravery because it is a very countercultural position to take. But yeah, it's not specifically a Catholic position. It was the default Christian position for 2,000 years, and then everyone else got out except mostly the Catholics, and suddenly, well, it's just a Catholic thing. Wrong. That's not how that works. So, yes, I think birth control is sinful, therefore evil. I think IVF always involves the sin of birth control, separating two things that ought not to be separated, therefore evil.
Yeah, tell me again, how do you equate birth control and IVF?
Well, how do you think IVF happens? Like, it doesn't happen from the sex act, and that's the separation of the two.
Okay, so the sin you're getting at is the separation of sex and creating the baby.
Correct.
That's the sin.
Sex and procreation. Now, that doesn't mean I'm not going to get into all the nuances of the Catholic birth. That's a different episode. We can have it sometime. But obviously, Catholics practice natural family planning. We can get into the distinction of that a different time. But there is a divorce, a severing of the two that takes place in birth control and in IVF. But then the greater issue with IVF, even than that, is that 99% of the time, 99% of the time, and I would be willing to bet that includes the vast majority of Christians who are practicing it, involves abortion. And abortion
on
a scale.
You're saying in IVF?
Yes.
Because the embryos that don't get used.
Yes, are discarded.
Mm-hmm.
Abortion, and it even goes farther than that because a lot of times it can involve eugenics. It can involve just a disgusting approach to life that is endemic of the rot that is in our society. I think and that's why I do stand by what I say. While I'm sympathetic to those who would turn to it, I stand by the statement that IVF is an evil practice.
Well, okay, let's talk about for a second.
Yeah.
Before we go on to ducks.
Yeah, yeah, we got ducks coming up.
Natural family planning. Now, my understanding is that if Catholics who do this, or anybody who, I mean, I know Protestants who do this as well. The idea is you don't have sex when the wife is most fertile.
Yeah.
And then, so you are trying to, it sounds like, have sex without procreating.
Yes.
So what's the distinction? Why is that not?
Well, the distinction is that Catholic teaching always demands an openness to life. In other words, yes, you are engaging when I don't want to get overly graphic. Wait. I got to get a little graphic here. You're still the puck still goes in the goal, so to speak.
Hang on.
Because it's an openness to what God wants to do there. It is you are taking no artificial means to prevent a pregnancy. Yeah. Instead, what you are doing is engaging with the natural cycle of fertility that God has given us.
But if the sin is you want to be able to have sex without procreating, that is like natural family planning is hoping that you're not going to have a kid.
I do think there's a mentality that can go in there that I would say does begin to border on sin. In the sense of that there is an openness to life that is required. So what does hoping you don't get pregnant mean? Like if that means, ha ha ha, pulled one over on God, I don't think that's right. If it means, yes, we are not desiring more children at this time, and as a result, we are going to practice natural family planning with the rhythms of nature, not put too fine a point on it, mm-hmm. while still remaining open to God bringing a child out of this union if he so desires, which, not to get too graphic, but happened some of us.
Okay,
that's totally different.
What about this then? You could say the same thing. Let's say you're using birth control. It's not 100% effective. So you could, let me just say it real quick. You could potentially say, God can work in this situation if he wants. I would prefer not to have a kid right now, but God could do it. That's the same exact thing.
So, three issues with that. Number one, I don't think anybody using birth control for contraceptive purposes as opposed to other medical purposes, I'll make that distinction, is open to life in any meaningful way. I just don't. I don't believe that. Number two, I think that it's there is a artificial component to it that does change the act. And number three, what was I going to say for number three?
I think you're going to say, I think you're right, Matt.
I was not. Look, I know these issues. I know that there's personal things here. I'm not trying to be offensive to anyone. But I got to say what I think.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
And what I believe. And okay. I do think that there is a – it is a – there's a difference between having sex with natural family planning and the openness to life that represents and taking extraordinary and artificial means to deliberately sever. It's like you can get a vasectomy. You can make that argument with a vasectomy. Like you can have a whole miraculous healing in your, but that's not, that doesn't like, if you go get your balls snipped, you're not open to life at that point. Like that is a sin. Sterilization is a sin. For sterilization for the purpose of contraception is a sin.
All right. I think we've talked this issue out. But listeners, if you have follow-up questions, you can write us at feedback@thesuffolkchristian.com. And now it's time for ducks. Ben?
Yes.
Like I said, it was going to be on the bird feed. This is not very serious. But there, I do have a real question. You became a recent Jeep owner.
Yeah.
For the first time, you now drive a Jeep. And I will say, you also recently became a member of the C-suite. And I noticed in my own organization that I've been there for 15 years. On two different occasions, once one of my coworkers became a vice president, they quickly afterwards bought a Jeep. And now you just became a chief technology officer, I think.
Right, right.
And you bought a Jeep. So I guess this is not my initial question. It's going to be about ducks.
What's going on?
Is there something happening there? Is this a thing that bosses like to drive?
I think even non-C-suite people can buy Jeeps.
Okay,
and I recommend it. It's such a fun car.
Okay,
did you look at my car out there today?
I didn't look closely because you came to my door.
No doors.
I'll take a look.
The doors are off. It's a beautiful thing.
But you don't usually seem excited about things, generally speaking. But you did seem kind of excited about rubber ducks.
Yeah, I do have a duck.
Okay, so what's the history of Jeeps and rubber ducks? And are you kind of into this whole thing?
Well, I've only been given one duck so far, so I can't say I'm into it.
Okay, what's the history? But you seem enthusiastic about the ducks.
I think it's actually a very recent history. Okay. My understanding is that it started around COVID.
Okay.
So it's actually shockingly recent.
Okay.
And yeah, it just became a Jeep thing. But
what exactly happens? Jeep owners give you ducks, or anybody who sees you in a Jeep can give you a duck?
Anybody can give you a duck. And then you see people in non-Jeeps or non-Wranglers. Like if you're just in like a bad Jeep, like a Jeep Cherokee, you don't get a duck. But people do. And
what do you have? You have a Wrangler?
Oh, yeah. I have a Wrangler.
A Jeep Wrangler.
It's kind of like the Jeep Wave. As you're driving, you see another Wrangler, you hold two fingers up. That's the Jeep Wave.
You have to do
you
two
have to
fingers
do it.
To
yeah,
other.
That's the Jeep Wave. And so sometimes.
Why is it two fingers?
That's just the way it works.
You're sending them peace.
And then sometimes you'll see somebody in like a Jeep Liberty try and do the Jeep Wave. I don't give it back.
You just ignore them.
Yeah, you shun them.
Wow. I mean, you're very into Jeep culture all of a sudden.
Well, I just
had
it
for
Jeep.
Like a month.
I've had like 2 months now. It's great. I love it.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. I guess my question was really just, okay, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
When that person gave you, who gave you a duck?
A coworker.
And how did that make you feel?
Well, I was fine with it.
So if another person gives you a duck, are you just going to keep putting them up there?
Well, I don't know. I don't even have that one up yet because I don't know if you ever tried to put ducks on your dashboard. They don't stay. So I had to get some adhesive.
Okay. So if I give you a duck, you'll put it up there?
Potentially. It depends on the duck.
Oh, really? You are going to be kind of picky about the duck.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. Right now, the duck is in my – I got tube doors in place of the other doors. And they have like little luggage packs on the side. He's peeking out of the luggage pack.
So you took off the doors this weekend.
Yeah, it was amazing.
What made you take off the doors of your Jeep? I know that is something that lots of people do, but you just want – tell me about it.
Well – so when you first get a Jeep, you're like, I don't think I'll bother taking off the doors. And then you think about it for 5 minutes. You realize, I'd kind of like to take off the doors. And then I didn't realize that until this weekend when I went to take them off, because I was like, it's going to be kind of a pain to do. Like, I don't know if you've ever taken the doors off of a car. It doesn't seem easy. So it used to be older Jeeps, like older than this year, required tools.
Uh-huh.
There's just a little pin. You pull that pin. You disconnect the electric. You lift it off. You're done. I swapped my doors in like 10 minutes yesterday.
Okay. And I'm guessing that the plan is when it gets cold, then you just put it back on?
Yeah, well, even later this week when it starts raining.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you need some doors for the rain.
Yeah.
I should look at your Jeep more closely. Does it have a top that moves off?
It does.
So,
yeah,
wow.
The roof. I shut the roof because I parked under a tree. At your house, I didn't want the birds to go pooping in my
Jeep. Yeah, you can never be too safe.
So I shut the roof. But yeah, I've got the one-touch power roof. It's amazing.
Wow, this sounds like a very fun vehicle.
I love this
car. I'm going to find you a duck that you love.
Okay.
I don't know when, but I'll be on the lookout for a duck that has been approved.
Yes.
All right, listeners, that's all from here. I'm Matt Anderson.
I'm Ben DiBono.
We're the Suffolk Christians signing off.
Goodbye.